The launch of the Special Envoy Report into Anti-Semitism paints a disturbing picture of intolerance that has risen in Australia following the eruption of violence since the October 7 attacks. Stephen Hill asked Dr. Mike Kelly from Labor Friends of Israel how concerning the situation was in Australia when it comes to the presence of the world's oldest prejudice.
Well, it should be concerning to everyone, and I know that it is the majority of Australians. I think that was a problem for the government last year, that they weren't realising there was a big groundswell of concern about just domestic security. Because if you talk to people in the Hindu or Sikh or Buddhist or a Thai, Filipino, Pacific Islander, they know that if a synagogue burns today, it's going to be a temple or a church that burns tomorrow. There was a real worry that it wasn't being properly addressed. And I think the original sin there was that horrific moment on the 9th of October 2023, when that illegal demonstration chanting, "Where's the Jews?" and "F the Jews," etc., threatening violence, denied the Sydney Jewish community the ability to just mourn the horror and the tragedy of the savagery that was committed on the 7th of October. So when that wasn't dealt with properly, the law enforced, a place made safe for that community, it sort of fed the steady escalations we saw, the vandalism, the arson.
In the report, what the special envoy describes as online platforms that have become vectors for conspiracy theories and hate speech, do you think more has to be done to combat the rise of intolerance that's appearing in various guises online?
Stephen, you have hit on the main point here, and it's a major focus for me. I'm an adjunct professor out at the National Security Institute at the University of Canberra, where we have been focusing on the general information warfare challenge that the West faces right now. Democracy has been under siege, it's been corroded, it's been defeated, and particularly since 2016, when Russia showed what it could achieve in getting Donald Trump elected. Then Iran and China, you know, North Korea learning those lessons, and now them coordinating amongst themselves. And I don't think a lot of people realise just how coordinated, insidious and volumised that is through the assets and the abilities of the states. That is now fueling the neo-Nazis on the right and then the most extremists and the Marxists in the middle and left. You know, it's just all over the spectrum of the threats that we face, and that's why the Australian went over to New Zealand and shot up 50 Muslims in New Zealand, that appalling incident. So it threatens all of us, because they don't care who they're targeting as long as there's social disruption.
So what I discovered is also that you yourself, when you were an elected representative, have been targeted by white nationalists with a neo-Nazi sticker from a group labelled the Antipodean Resistance. What was that experience like for yourself and your staff?
For my staff, it was deeply traumatising. So to come to work in the morning and have one of those really confronting and offensive posters on your window of your office, you know, which you suspect that would ever happen in a place like Bega. But they did come down, and they also did homophobic attacks after the plebiscite happened to we had a gay couple running the post office in Cobargo. But the community rallied and washed that stuff off their walls. They came down and put up anti-migration stuff, and then in my electorate office in Queanbeyan left pigs' entrails or something in front of the door. And now we've seen these days a lot of my former colleagues and MPs getting the same treatment, but even worse now, like Peter Carlisle, for example, his electorate office, they drilled a hole in the wall and introduced toxic materials into his office, which was highly hazardous. And so they had to get in a hazmat team. They started a fire in front of Josh Burns' electorate office in a building that had apartments.
Okay, so one of the recommendations that is receiving a lot of media attention due to potential of it being abused is the potential for the government to withdraw funding from universities, public broadcasters and cultural organisations. Is there a danger that we could end up in a situation where we've got, like in the US, where Donald Trump has withdrew $400 million from Columbia University?
Yeah, look, that needs to be handled very carefully. And you want to approach this by actually building a bit of a consensus around what's going on. Your media resources are looking for a simple black hat, white hat paradigm to squeeze things into. The simplification and the then typecasting who the players are. And I don't think there's a complete answer to that right now, but we do have to appreciate that our university landscape is problematic. There was terrible stuff going on our campuses. In some ways, this can be addressed by simply pulling together and determining what is acceptable and what isn't on a university campus, and opening universities to be what they ought to be, places of enlightenment, of debate, of reason, where you can have discussions without being shouted down, intimidated or targeted, cancelled, boycotted, etc.
Dr. Mike Kelly, former Labor member for Eden Monaro and adjunct professor in the National Security Institute at the University of Canberra, speaking with Stephen Hill.